CliffCentral.com.
All right, we are back. We are live. It is Monday. It's the first Monday of the year. Wow. Eugene and I just took a big, deep breath. Eugene Koza's with us. Leanne Mole's with us. She's just in the bathroom at the moment taking an enormous shit, but she'll be with us in just a second. And we have touched every buzzword, every hot spot you could possibly wish for. It's a hell of a way to start the morning. How was your poo, Leanne? Was it very good?
Very satisfying.
Good. Excellent. Excellent.
It's always best when you sit in front of a lot of toilet rolls. Then you can relax.
Really?
Isn't it the worst thing when you are on the loo and you realize too late that the toilet roll is not going to be sufficient?
Very bad. Imagination runs wild.
You do that little walk or that little run to where you store the toilet paper and you just hope no one sees you. You know which one I'm talking about. You know the walk. Anyway, we don't want to go lavatorial in the first 5 seconds of the second hour of the show. So, all right, we've covered a lot of ground this morning, and it's only the first show. So I've got to say up front that we are we're planning a lot of different things this year. There's going to be quite a bit of change. We also have some exciting announcements in terms of what's going to be happening with Cliff Central. And Eugene and I are planning some very cool things, which I can't tell you too much about now, but those are going to take off in the next month or two.
Absolutely.
It's going to be big, and we're going to want you to be there in person. So that's all I'm going to say for now.
Please, Leanne, we need you.
Yes.
I would love to.
We need you.
Yeah. We need your country.
Your country.
Needs you.
Your country. Uncle Sam needs you.
Right. All right, so listen, there have been a couple of sort of disasters. I saw there were some shack fires in Cape Town, and these things happen all the time because obviously people don't have a lot of space. They build right next door to each other. Mm-hmm. So someone leaves something on the stove and then it catches fire the next place. And before you know it, like 40 families don't have houses. And apparently you had some kind of incident. A friend of mine was telling me his girlfriend has set fire to the house twice. Like, he walked into the kitchen once and she had left a pot on the stove and the whole kitchen roof is now black. They had to replace the whole kitchen roof. And then she did it again another time. It could happen to anybody, so don't point fingers.
So it wasn't arson, they were mistakes, right?
She didn't want to she didn't want to kill him. But this happens. Now, you asked the question, what things would you take out of the house if you knew there was a house fire? But I mean, this is something that we've spoken about before. What happened to you that you suddenly had to think about this?
It was quite soon after those horrific thunderstorms we had.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when the hail just comes in a wall and all of a sudden the sound around you changes. And I heard that massive hissing sound, that ksh.
Yeah.
I was inside and I thought, is that another storm? Opened the door, the front door. And I could see flames.
Jesus. Whoa. What happened?
I was hearing was like, you know, when bush is burning and it hisses. And where I live, I'm pretty much covered in a lot of old gardens. So big trees.
You live in the Shire?
Lots of shrubs.
Yeah, in the Shire with the hobbits.
Yeah. And I came out of my hut and
barefoot and pregnant. Carry on.
I was busy making some
churning butter.
Sorghum in the bowl.
Oh, remind me, I gotta talk to you about putu. Okay, because that came up as well. Yeah.
And there's one of those, I never know what they are, they're all banana trees to me, but one of those spiky trees, and it's a light. And those spiky fronds lean onto my veranda roof.
Oof.
Dang.
So I knew immediately that this was an emergency and that I needed to act fast. Mm-hmm. I knew that there wasn't even time to call the fire brigade. Mm-hmm. I knew the first thing that came into my mind were my cats. I just needed to get them out. But to get to the cat cages, I had to go to a Zozo, which was under... I had to run underneath this burning bush. So I ran underneath the flames.
Yay. All of this for the cats.
Open up the Zozo. I'm now fighting through spider webs, which I would never have usually done.
Better than flames.
Emergency mode. Yeah. And I managed to get the three carriers.
What what created the fire? Was it lightning?
There was no storm. I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea. I just was in emergency mode.
It's witchcraft. What you suffered was called ivuta.
Yeah. Someone put muti on door. You. Yeah.
It's usually put for mistresses, people who are derailing people's families. It's called ivuta.
Leanne?
I was even standing there and I was shouting, hello, hello.
That's such a white thing to do.
Leanne, didn't you tell me a story like last year about the neighbors, something caught fire there as well? And
nah.
So, yes, this is the thing.
Do you live close to a macro?
So, I get the cat boxes inside and... This is now what spurred on my what three things would you take? Because now I keep the cat boxes inside for emergencies like this.
Oh, my God. You're paranoid. That would not be on my list.
No.
Managed to get two cats in. But the last cat box is this small, and I'm left with the biggest cat. Oh, I was honestly thinking I was going to have to break limbs to get this thing inside.
Oh, you are going
to
go that far, Leanne?
Why didn't it occur to you to just get the hose pipe?
Yes.
And try to put out whatever fire was going to ensue?
Or call a man.
Or call the fire brigade. I mean,
I was helloing. Yeah, because this happened within like 45 seconds, you must know.
All right. Okay, no, we're not.
And then,
like, you know, hindsight is 2020. So what happened?
And I mean, I have two fire extinguishers in my house. I didn't once think of using them. It's amazing how stupid you are when there's like an emergency. But managed to go outside, and it was a gas canister that had exploded.
That's the hissing sound you were hearing.
That was the hissing sound. The pipe had come out from behind and was fueling these flames.
No way. Was it your gas canister?
It was like a flamethrower. It was on my property. So
you were the arsonist.
I like that it was on my property. Not that the gas canister was mine.
She lives on a property. She's like in the
It was my landlord. Yeah. It was the landlord's gas canister.
Shit.
And he was cooking at the time. But now I see that
the
gas canister has been moved. Yes, he was eventually there. He was like, oh my God. You know. not very apologetic, but just very shocked.
But I mean, if he wasn't there, you would have had a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I was getting into my car to drive out of the driveway and get to safety. And
so you would have let the house burn, and you, as long as you and the cats were out, everything would be fine.
Listen, when you're renting, it's a totally different mindset.
I love that. No fucks given. I will give him a faki.
Right.
So how did this man rescue the situation? What did he do?
By turning off the gas, he managed the fuel died. Stopped, and because we'd had so many storms, the garden is so green that the fire just couldn't go any further. It fizzled, it like retracted and fizzled out.
Yeah, wow, almost like one of those stories you'd see reenacted on that those shows with. And Leanne grabbed her cats and went straight to the car. The house continued to burn for 7 days.
Her and her cats were safe.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so, Leanne, you risk life and limb for cats?
For cat boxes.
Not for cat boxes.
Because you could have just grabbed the cats and put them in the back of your car in an emergency, right?
No, you can't do that with cats.
Why?
They'll claw you to death. You can't carry them like a dog.
Listen.
No.
You got to get
most
that
cats
cat.
You can't.
You got to get that cat in order. You got to say to the cat, "Listen, motherfucker, it's you. It's you or the
follow me."
Yeah. Right. You know what they say about herding. And if the cat won't cooperate, then it's made a decision. Right? It's made its own decision.
Oh man.
You're not, are you coming or you're not?
Yeah, exactly.
I've never laughed this hard so early.
But isn't it okay? Look, I know you love your cats, and I'm not making light of that. And you made your decisions in an emergency, which is something, you know, nobody wants to be in that situation because obviously, you instinct drives you. You don't think none of us really, with a very very small exception of people who are trained in this stuff, would think logically in that situation. So, you know, I get it, but. I don't know. I would not be. I've got one dog. I wouldn't want the dog to die.
But
there are things in my house that if I had to think about objects or whatever, it would be very hard to choose, hey? Be very hard to choose. Yeah, there isn't.
Yeah, you've got a lot of historical.
I don't have like a safe with cash in it that would be the obvious first thing to go for. In any case, you're safe.
Luckily, safes are fireproof.
A safe would be fireproof. So you probably wouldn't want to prioritize that. I'm trying to think, would I try to rescue photographs? Probably a laptop, because I think my laptop is essential.
Laptop, phone, and charger. Get out.
Yeah, that's probably, if you think about it now, while the emergency is not going on, that's the sensible thing to do. So you should really make a list in your head so you're ready for this kind of situation.
I think phone.
And besides, I mean, laptop and phone aren't that important because everything lives on the cloud.
On the cloud,
You're one of those disappear or are stolen.
What are you
going
to take?
We know it's a bit of an inconvenience, but
what are you
going to
take?
The
meat in the freezer. What are you going to? I mean, I know what I wouldn't take. Yeah. I would not rescue TVs or any of that shit.
No ways.
Furniture, you know that stuff is not a priority.
You know, the more we talk about this topic, we realize we just need our phones. Because we need to call someone and we need to get somewhere. Yeah. We need to pay for something. All of it is here.
I know.
So I just need my phone. And also the sentimentality of things. And come on, guys. You know when you're in a hotel, that's the only time, if you're in a prolonged stay in a hotel, that's when you realize how little you need your stuff.
Yeah.
Because in a hotel room, your bathroom is over there.
Right.
The teapot and boiling kettle is over here.
You did that sabbatical where you went off to this coast. You went to a house and you hired the house and you stayed there on your own. And you didn't need anything except your phone.
Yeah. And that's when I realized that people can do this thing. We just think that we can't. So the satisfaction that comes with looking at our stuff is the weirdest thing ever. We look at our picture frames as if there's the only picture frame ever made.
Right.
We look at our thing. We know the thing is there. We also enjoy walking down passages. Mm. Oh, I'm in the other room and I'm just going to walk to the other room and make the thing and disappear from that room and not see it again. We're just so obsessed with it. But if you have your phone, you are fine anywhere in the world. You know, when I travel, I even hardly carry my wallet.
Yeah, yeah. Like, now I use everything Apple Pay for everything.
I can get somewhere. I can eat. I can pay. I can sleep. I can book a flight. Yeah. I can get out of Dodge with all of this.
Right.
So now we have to teach people
you can generate an income just using your phone.
Yes, we now have to start teaching people that their lives are more important. Because I've often heard these stories of people running back into houses for things. Or even in hijacking situations where I was hijacked and the last thing that I wanted to do was save the car. You know, so I was like, I've ran this scenario in my mind so many times, but only when it happened did I realize how a lot of people die is when you put up this struggle for a thing that can be replaced.
A thing.
An object.
Material
Come
object.
On. You know, my estate agent once said to me, you know what, Eugene? If you think a house is going to be forever, you are lying to yourself. If that was the fact, all of these houses would not be for sale.
That's a very good point. And you know,
agents wouldn't have a job.
But but people are like that about relationships too.
Oh,
while they're in that relationship, it's the most important thing in their world. They break up a month later. They don't even think about that person.
Yes.
A month before, they were thinking about that person 24/7. If that person was having a bad day, they were having a bad day.
Yes.
If they had an argument, it ruined their whole work day. Everything is dependent on that. And as soon as you're out of it, you're like, I didn't think about that person at all today. And if you're not in the same house that you've always been in, you thought was your house, this is where I live, this is my place, it doesn't take you long, as you say, in a hotel room to realize you don't need any of this shit, right?
So we have to teach. I would have hated to have read a story about Leanne passing away in a fire, trying to save something.
I would
whether
have hated
it's a that. Whether it's a we cat
had,
or
we
some,
had to find someone else to do the show with us this morning. It would have been a disaster.
We have to get back into self-preservation mode. And that's where we need to be. So, Leanne, I'm glad you're safe and you're alive and your landlord switched off the gas.
Happy New Year, ass. I'm glad I'm glad you made it through.
Glad to be here. But it's so true. I mean, I've moved a number of times and one of the boxes went missing during the move.
Mm-hmm.
And it had one important thing in it. It was a retainer for my teeth. And those, I mean, you can't just go and buy another one. You've got to have it made or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite upset about it. But there was that one thing in a huge box. Do you know that I didn't have any idea what else was in that box?
Mm-hmm.
And I still to this
stuff.
Day don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never missed it.
Mm-hmm. People in their stuff.
Never missed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot, I think I'm the person that Eugene was describing about like being attached to all of the, I like my space, I like my house, I like my things around me, my comforts. I got to get out of that. Maybe this is the year to do it.
Yeah, I used to be like that.
How did you break the habit?
I just told myself I have to. And it also started with clothing. Clothing is the biggest trap, because if you go into my closet, you'd be shocked at how many stuff is there, how much stuff is there with labels and tags. But in rotation, I only think I have 5 t-shirts and then 2 pairs of jeans and shorts. But that's me. Wow. And shoes as well. But I started realizing I had a problem. Why am I holding on? It was more of an emotional thing than a physical thing, because I always say to people, growing up poor will do a number on you. You will always think you are on the verge of losing something.
Yeah.
So you start becoming an emotional hoarder as well. So that fear of, this thing is going to go away. We hold on to little contacts, even in our phones. Oh, I still have the CEO of Nedbank here, or Old Mutual. Oh, this guy, he's going to come in handy one day. Why? Why am I ignoring Gareth, who's right here, for someone who's somewhere in the ether that one day perhaps I might need to, use and get ahead?
Gareth can't help you with anything. No, can't be stupid.
Yeah, please.
He deletes all my nudes that I send him. No, so
exactly.
He's not helping.
Listen, I do love this. Ginger Winger says, which is hilarious. I love the picture as well. Picture Harry. While having my coffee this morning, I paused to think how lucky I am that I'm not Andre de Reiter and I don't have to question my coffee.
Yep.
Yeah.
That came out this week.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That Andre de Reiter, while he was running Eskom, which is already the shittiest job in the world.
Yeah.
And even if they paid him, I don't know, 10 million rand a year, it's still not worth it. Mm. I wouldn't take that job.
I saw that one interview when his wife was saying, he told this guy, he was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, this job has changed this guy.
Horrible.
And I think when people say he's unpatriotic, I think that's the biggest lie of them all. That man is patriotic because he took the job when no one would. And now he risked his life, and all we can say is, well,
people were putting cyanide in his coffee.
Yes.
I mean, listen, I hate Eskom, right? I really hate Eskom. I drive past Megawatt Park sometimes.
Just to hoot and throw tomatoes.
And I go, even though no one can see me, there's no one at the gate. I hate Eskom, right? Yeah. We all do. We all think it's the most corrupt, stupid, and incompetent business that ever existed. It really is. All of those things.
Yeah.
But you had to actually want to murder someone with cyanide in their coffee.
Yep.
And to go after a man's coffee is just so wrong.
Serving him re-coffee, for God's sake. That's when he knew this thing is poison. It's
horrendous.
I mean, the coffee at Eskom is already bad.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So,
bad.
Yeah. Mm-mm. We can't.
So, we got a couple of stories in the news. I mean, that Andre de Reiter one is, that's scary.
That's scary, yeah.
Apparently, there was another tanker and another bridge story. Now, that one is ongoing, and I mean, we finished the show before all of that happened, but I can't believe that they're not going to hold this guy responsible who was driving the truck.
I can believe.
You can believe it.
He followed a lot of protocol. Yes. We didn't realize
behind
the story.
So you follow protocol, but then you also use your brains.
He did that too.
He did though. He tried his best.
Yes.
Wow. He risked his own life by pushing the crowds back.
Yes, he passed out.
No. I'm saying before he should have seen. I mean, if I were driving a truck, I sometimes drive in a normal car on some roads and I go, can't be on this road. This road's dangerous. This is not a good place.
Is it leading to Tembisa?
No, it's got holes in the road. Like there was a road in was it in KZN? Pumalanga. Mm. Pumalanga. And I was driving this car and I thought, no, this car doesn't belong to me. I should not be doing this. Turned around, took another road. I did
really?
That. As a person, one
I
person
get it.
In a car.
I don't want to be in a car with you.
Swear to God. It was not a good road. I was driving Phil's car from DeWitt Motors. I'm not going to fuck up his car. And this road was not for a normal car. This was not even for a four-wheel drive car.
And you made a U-turn.
I turned around.
To go find another road.
I found another route.
Who does that, Gareth?
Well, this is what, especially if you're driving a tanker full of something flammable that you should be applying your mind to. I'm not going to give him a free pass.
But Gareth, he got off the truck. He surveyed the bridge, and there was no signage that the bridge's height.
I understand he followed the rules.
Yes,
I understand that he's not technically responsible.
Okay, sharp.
I get that.
All right,
I don't want him to go to jail.
Okay, sharp.
But I'm like, how do we stop this thing from happening in the future? How are we going to fix this stuff? Because it isn't just complying with the rules. A lot of people like to comply with the rules.
There are two issues here. There is increased incompetence on South Africa's roads.
Absolutely.
And that has a lot to do with corruption and buying of licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the second thing is our roads and infrastructure are declining in their nature. There was no sign. The road could have dipped at the end, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's
as
what happened.
The road came out at the end, mm-hmm. it pushed the truck at a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
So even the height was okay. It was the angle of the declining road.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two things there. But yes, there are more and more incompetent drivers on the road.
But also, Leanne, if I think now, since load shedding and potholes have been part of our daily lives, that has also changed the way people drive.
And the ducking and the stopping and the not stopping. The fact that there's so many trucks on the roads, yes, is also one of the reasons the potholes are so bad, because Transnet isn't able and our rail infrastructure is so bad that we used to send stuff by freight that should be on trains.
And the demand for gas, household gas.
Because of Eskom.
In the suburbs.
Right. So all of this is because people haven't been doing their jobs across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like, I know that this guy's... I don't want him to go to jail.
What
don't
do you want, Gareth?
I want responsibility. I want accountability from individuals. If you're driving on a road and you think that this road is probably not good for your car, then instead of making it someone else's problem down the line, turn around and find another route. Like, take personal responsibility for everything.
I hear that.
And that if someone at, you know, at Eskom did that 20 years ago, we wouldn't have this problem now.
In the words of the great Ace Mahashule at the Sasol Garage, it's only a matter of 5 years.
Exactly. I'm telling you. By the way, the fire department and the cops were on the scene for like half an hour before the explosion.
Yes, and apparently the truck driver had to properly cordon off the people from the truck better than the fire department did.
Well, no one listens. Because also... this did happen in Boksburg, and I'm not going to be mean to Boksburg, but they deserve, like, they're gathering around looking, you know, because nothing fucking happens in Boksburg. Hey, what's going on there? Let's have a look.
Half past six in the morning, so many people out there to go watch.
Guys,
hey, Boksburg is special.
Listen, these are the same. I'm not saying anyone deserves to die. Don't get me wrong here. I think it's awful what happened. It is a tragedy in every way, but... the same people who stop when there's a road accident, they can't help. They're not helpful. They just want to look.
Mm.
They want to see what's going on. They want to see a dead body. That's what they want to see.
Don't you want to see a dead body?
No, go to the morgue if you want to see. There are lots of dead bodies every day. Plenty.
I once saw a dead body on my way to school when I was in grade 7.
Did it traumatize you?
No. I had a math test, so that was traumatizing. I was like, I've got bigger issues. I was like, lucky you, buddy.
You don't have to
deal with Miss Mazibugo.
Oh, Snae brings up something really interesting here about your whole thing about how we just need our phones. But Snae says that applies to photos. We take so many photos, chances are we'll never look at them again.
Yeah.
The sad part is we miss out on the moment because we want to take photos that we'll forget about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is so irritating.
You know who enjoys our photos more than us? The Pakistani phone repairman.
Yes. He's like, let's see, those nudes that Eugene's always sending. I went to a wedding in the last few days of December where we were all asked very nicely by the bride and groom not to take any pictures.
Oh, what?
No social media.
Why?
Because you want to reserve...
for various reasons. They had a photographer. They had a drone taking some pictures. It was also... These were smart people. They're people who are not looking for publicity.
Are they famous?
Not famous. Very wealthy.
Oh, yeah. That's a shortcut.
So they don't want...
Okay.
Any publicity.
You don't want someone's shitty photograph to be the first photograph of your dress.
Especially when you're rich.
I will tell you this. It was... even if it wasn't like as you know, much money spent as maybe some weddings, it was the most beautiful wedding. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I did not pick up my phone once. I did not take a picture. There were some people who did take pictures, but nobody posted anything on social media. You will see nothing about this wedding anywhere.
Except for the Pakistani repairman.
Maybe he will. but I thought, what a great experience. And you know, more and more... as I go to these kind of exclusive events and you end up going to a birthday party or someone's mm-hmm. having a wedding or something, I'm seeing a lot more of these people who really, they could be the ones making a big noise on social media. Mm. Look at my life and how great it is and all. They're saying, please, no photos and no social media. And I think that's going to become a thing. That's one of my predictions for the year, is that ordinary people in their private moments with their friends and family, girlfriend, their lover, whoever it might be, less phone. Because I think we're starting to realize, like what Snai said here in this comment, in that moment, you're actually missing out on taking it in because you're so busy trying to get that perfect selfie or that picture of something, that view that no one's ever going to look at again. You might, if it's the best photo ever, put it in your wallpaper of your phone. And that's the best chance it has of ever being immortal. But otherwise, why bother?
I think in relationships, you can't ban phones. I think...
Don't say ban.
Yeah, and I'm saying like less. Less. I think we also maybe must conduct a study and see how many relationships having a phone has saved. Because I think if I had to look at someone in their face forever that I live with or stay with or date, hey, my man, Instagram has saved her, eh? Because sometimes when I'm there on the Instagram, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
One more minute with you. If it wasn't for my Explore, you would have been gone.
So, no, I know what you mean.
So we need that little window outside to look outside. But I get what you're saying. It must not intrude on people's personal spaces. I think we must start asking for consent, maybe, when you want to take photographs of people's special moments.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, consent.
You should be.
Yes.
I think that's right.
It's like watching a concert or a big event through your screen. You might as well be at home watching it on a TV because you're watching it through a screen instead of just experiencing it. But I wanted to bring up something about weddings and social media. Mm. I saw quite a cute story that a South African woman happened to look at an Instagram of a wedding dress that was worn by an American woman at her wedding. Mm-hmm. And the South African woman fell in love with it. She's in Joburg. And she, you know, wanted to find out if she could buy the dress here. This happened just recently, like I think the end of last year. Mm. So she made contact with her and said, you know, who's the designer, was told, and we're unable to have that dress shipped here at all. So she said, do you think I could buy it from you perhaps? Mm. And this woman was like, but I kind of want to keep it. So she actually, to a complete stranger, said, you know what, you can borrow it. And packed it up in a box, sent it to the UK where the bride's mom was. The bride's mom flew it to Joburg. Mm. And this woman tried it on and it was the perfect fit.
No way.
Oh, wow.
Perfect fit.
No way.
Green dress, perfect fit. Absolutely stunning. And so she decided to invite the American couple over to the wedding, which she did. She sent over a wedding invitation. And the American couple decided to take her up on it. So they went to Cape Town for a week before. They'd never, ever thought of coming to South Africa, which was quite amazing. And she, you know, in her videos, she says, Cape Town's like the most beautiful place that I've ever been to. And then they made their way to Joburg. They were completely, like, accepted by the family. They went to all of the family dinners. They went to the bachelorette party.
This is beautiful.
So, beautiful story.
It's such a lovely story. Just all of the shooting, clay pigeon shooting, were absolutely wrapped up in the family, went to the wedding. And I just thought it was a really nice story to come out of social media, where social media can usually be so horrible.
I love that.
So to give you
that's good.
The details, they've called it the sisterhood of the traveling wedding dress. Mm. But it's Simone Huisen from Joburg. She was the one who got to wear the dress, and the woman in America, Emily Heath. So, and they'll probably be friends forever. I just thought it was so cool.
But doesn't that speak to what we were saying about attachment to things? And this wedding dress could have easily just stayed in that closet, covered up.
And no one will ever wear it again.
Yeah.
Right?
So here we are, and we see what generosity and hoarding, it doesn't go.
Well, you've made me want to go home and throw out a whole lot of shit. I mean, I felt sorry for myself for a day or two this, because I thought I haven't really spent any money on myself. I haven't really bought anything. I haven't refreshed my wardrobe or any of that shit for years. Mm. And I thought, you know, I'll just carry on wearing the same. I'm going to go and throw some shit out. And no, and not throw it away, but give it away, you know, charity or whatever.
You know what?
And I want to do that just to simplify my life.
Yes. You know, one of the most.
I still got my wedding dress in a box.
You what, do? What are you going to do with it? You know, what are you going to do with that?
You know, there's actually, I've thought about it. There's a very cool program in South Africa where you can donate your wedding dress and it'll be used for women who will never in their lives be able to afford a wedding
that's
dress.
Amazing.
Mm. Or matric dance dresses
that's
as well.
Nice. Do that.
Yeah. So that might be quite cool.
Because you're not even married anymore to that guy. So just get rid of it.
No, definitely not.
So you kept the wedding dress, but not the wedding ring?
Yeah.
I kept the ring too.
Oh, right. No, you don't give that away. Please, what is this?
You know, the story reminds me of one of my things that I was, when I was still car obsessed, one of my favorite things to do was borrow people my cars.
Mm. You would let them drive your...
Anyway, it gave me such great satisfaction because I knew that I wouldn't drive the car forever.
Mm-hmm.
But then the days that I'm not driving it for a week and I'm not in town...
Let someone else.
And I can't drive two cars at the same time.
That's great.
It was my favorite thing to do. I kid you not. And I don't regret it one bit because those cars are gone now. But I know there's someone who would have never could afford that
experience.
Car. And they would take their girlfriends or they would take their wives. They would go.
That's nice.
They would love the experience. Yeah. But I look at things and I'm go. You know when I take a daily walk and I go and I walk past Stain City and I look at how much people have in excess as opposed to just a thin wall that separates the other people. At Olivan,
Deep Sluit.
And I'm like, when did we get here? You have a 6 million rand car that you only drive on Sundays. Are we there? Is this who we are? But we can judge those super wealthy people. But in our little world here, we've got houses with 4 bedrooms and nothing in it but other beds and clothes and just a little thing for us to watch.
You're so right.
The wedding dress is just a small example. It's a tip of the iceberg of how selfish and how self-centered we've become. And you know what my biggest fear was? I never wanted to lie in my deathbed and look at my stuff and go, what am I going to do with all of this?
That's something to think about. That is also, you know, the first hour of the show this morning was all like all the controversy we could pour into an hour without us planning to do that. And it feels to me like the second one is a little bit more of a spiritual kind of what do we want from 2023 vibe. And I'm getting this simplicity thing, which I think we tried, you know, especially COVID helped people to get rid of things.
But we slowly slip back into those bad habits, right?
I don't know.
We stop calling each other. We stop video calling each other. We stop using Zoom more. You know, Zoom brought people who were already close, even closer, because now they were seeing each other. But now we've gotten back, Gareth, to ignoring people's phone calls again and not feeling like going for that drive and going to that meeting. And we forgot what happened to us.
No, you are absolutely right.
We are very quickly forgetting. I mean, I would have killed to drive to a studio and sit with you like this 2 years ago. Killed.
Well, we're doing it now and we're going to be doing it more.
So when an opportunity comes, I don't hesitate. If I have to be somewhere, I go because I could have easily not been here.
Congo Chris says...
Congo Chris. I love this guy.
I quit smoking. Anyone else have a resolution? Well... Can I tell you what I did for the last week? Yeah. I got back from New Year on Tuesday last week.
From KZN?
Yeah. I got back in fact, it was Monday. It was Monday last week. So I've been home a week.
Mm.
I have not seen anyone but family.
No.
And I did not leave my house except to go to the shops. It could have been, might as well have been COVID.
No.
I promise you, I had big plans for this week. I was going to see these friends. I was going to go out here. I was going to do that. I did nothing. And I've often said I do nothing over a weekend, but I've, you know, gone and seen some friends or had a drink with these people or, you know, like popped in here. This week, nothing. It's the longest period that I can remember since probably when COVID started that I have not had anyone around me for 7 whole days.
Except for family.
Yeah, so I saw my sister and her boyfriend, and I saw my parents. My brother and his kids are away, so they weren't even around. So it was literally, I saw 4 other people only during the course of this whole week. And I was doing all kinds of fun things that I like doing, designing buildings and stuff online on my computer. I was like doing a little bit of drawing and painting, and I wrote down some ideas and did some of that stuff.
That's awesome. That's a nice way to end off your holiday, actually.
I liked it. I must tell you, I didn't want to go anywhere. I was invited to a thing in Cape Town this past weekend, which I could have gone to. And I decided not to, even though I really love the people who I would have seen there, and I know it would have been fun. I had no FOMO. I did. Now I've got it out of my system too, so now I can hit the road running. Yes. I'm ready to see people.
It makes sense.
Ready to have meetings and conversations and take things in a new direction. I'm ready for the year because I didn't have that carte blanche syndrome. Where
it's very balancing, and
you're calibrating. That's what
I think,
right?
That's what it is. I think that's it. I think that's what it is. I don't feel like I want more holiday.
No,
which I've always felt at the end of most holidays. I always come on, a few days more. There's no resentment and bitterness about the holiday ending.
Jeez,
and it's because I took this serious slowdown.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do nothing, and then I'm gonna approach the year with all the energy on Monday. So I tried to go to sleep early last night and all that kind of thing. Yeah. Woke up this morning at, about 20 minutes earlier than I normally would have. Had a little coffee. Made sure I was civilized about the day. I wasn't going to rush into it like a maniac. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to see how long I can keep it up for.
No, look, what you did was calibrating. You know, have you ever had friends who have normal jobs and then when it's raining and dark and stormy on a normal work day, they go, oh, I wish I was in bed doing nothing, but that's what they're craving.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't know that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And as humans, we don't do that enough. And this is perfect. I do it all the time. I just get out there and see what people are doing and go for a walk or go for a jog or go sit at the park.
I did go to gym. I go to gym twice, which I said I was going to start this week. I didn't say I was going to start every day, and I'm not intending on going on every day. I'm not going to be on the cover of Men's Health. I don't want to be out of breath when I go upstairs.
Yes.
And I don't want to look like shit.
Yes.
That's all.
It's a combo.
Right. I just want to be able to put on a t-shirt and not go, that's what you got. You know what I mean? So I
love that.
So I make my lists. Yes. I've spoken about this before.
And these are resolutions, by the way.
No. I don't want to bore you. If you've heard this before on the show, I do these things called my own action lists for the year. So I just put down three places I want to go,
mm-hmm.
three things I want to do,
mm-hmm.
three people I want to meet,
damn,
and three things I want to buy. Those are like just things I want, like the stuff we were talking about that's so stupid.
12-step program.
I do the same, except I summarize it, and I'm like three people who I want to buy who I'm going to do.
So, I mean, for example, the three places I want to see this year, I am hell-bent on going with Muzikozwayo to the KZN battlefields. I want to go and...
Where the Battle of Isandlwana happened.
Exactly. I want to go to Isandlwana. I want to go to Rockstrift. I want to go to Mgungundlovu. I want to go to all those places where I've read the history, but I haven't been to these places. And that's right on our doorstep. There's
so you
no
want to walk those...
I want to walk those places. I want to feel those places. That's one of the places I want to go.
That's amazing.
The other two are more like overseas trips, holidays. I want to... people I want to see, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Things you want to buy. That's what I'm more
things
interested
I want to
in.
Buy. So I want to get solar for my house. I know that's so boring, but it's on my list, right? And I have to do it.
Yeah.
So I've been saying, and people in the comments are going to give me shit again because I've been saying it for so long, but it's fucking expensive to do the solar thing. I'm going to do it this year. I have to do it. One of the people I want to meet, I've said here, this is such a terrible thing to say, but...
Please don't say Barack Obama.
No.
Oh, I don't like that, man.
So you know, I've always said I'm really not the relationship kind of guy, but I'm opening myself up this year to the idea that there might be a girl who ticks the boxes.
Hold on. You want to meet?
I don't want. I'm not going to force this.
Oh, you're opening yourself up to the universe. You're saying, I'm available.
She, whoever she may be, is not on the list as I want to meet that girl and be with her. Yes. It's like, I'm going to keep an open mind this year because so far it hasn't been a priority at all.
You know what the
if
trick
it happens,
is?
It happens, but I've never really put any effort into it.
You know, the trick is to wanting to manifest that kind of a person is you have to think of what kind of stuff you want to do with them.
Mm.
Because the person exists, but what to do with them? Ah. You like, you know,
isn't that just like sexual fantasizing?
Leanne is on a mission. People she wants to buy and do.
Leanne, have you seen those people that
must be hormones?
Have you seen those people at the Land Rover dealership? They know what they're doing with their cars.
Right.
You can never tell a person that owns a Defender, hey, manche, where are you going to go? They're like, hey, my man, I chose this thing. This bucket of mine, I know what to do with it. So relationships are the same, especially romantic relationships that are fulfilling. You have to know exactly where you see that person fitting in a universe that you haven't lived in.
Right.
Because you can't see them doing what you're doing already. No. It makes no sense.
See, but this requires a change in my life.
Of course.
For me to be not complacent.
Of course.
And not go, this is how I want it to be for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. Got it? Right. So yeah, I'm on your page. Mm-hmm. So that's, I do these lists and I find them quite useful.
Yeah.
And then it's just something I want to do is, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I want to learn a superpower. I want to be able to do something I've never been able to do before. Superpower in inverted commas. I don't want to like, I'm not going to be able to
jump tall
burn shit with my eyes like Superman or fly. But I mean,
burn Leanne's cottage.
Like an ability I didn't have before. I want to have that ability. It could be something really silly, like, I don't know, learn to
speak Mandarin.
Well, yeah, that's very achievable if you put in the effort. And learning another language isn't really on the horizon. But I think it could be something like, you know how you realize what you're really good at and what you're not good at and what you put no effort into. Mm. And I'm not going to suddenly, like, a superpower in my book does not mean learning to play golf or anything shit like that. Because that's boring.
And pretentious.
That is so boring.
Oh, man, but, golfers.
Oh, it's so boring.
What a douchebag of people.
Oh. Anyway, but I mean, maybe it's that I learned to write a song. You know, one song.
Mm. I think your wasted superpower is the fact that you have the potential to have a cult.
No, I don't want a cult, though.
Oh, man, Gareth, you know the fun that would have if you had a cult.
You've seen how those end. They always end in people dead in sleeping bags.
Yeah, but the fun that we have, the fun that we'll have but, before sleeping bags.
But always dead people in sleeping bags. And usually they've just
we can have a swallowed uniform, some poison. Oh, we can have headquarters. We can have like branded vehicles.
No,
merchandise, slogans, quotes, memes, gifts, social media accounts, PR. Gareth, if you started a cult, I'll be there. You know that I'll be... My man, it's only a matter of 5 years.
We got some ideas. Not necessarily a cult, but we'll do something. So yeah, this is funny. Bihleng says, "G's wanting more jolo this year. Somebody gather Mbulelo Lebang Sims for those prayers." Wow. Dogoza says golf is amazing.
We're not gonna
have this argument.
I wouldn't call it amazing.
Yeah, no, amazing. I want Dogoza. Please. Golf. Yeah. Oh, wow, man.
Okay, so secret handshakes is what Congo Chris says. That's part of the cult thing. We've got to have a secret handshake.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that is something I think could be quite fun. Is like if we started a...
A cult.
Well, not I'm a... Joking. No, you see, that's a bad word. I don't like the word cult or sect. Sect and cult are bad words.
Sect.
I don't know. I got to figure out exactly what this is, but we'll get it. Maybe we rejuvenate the ANC.
And take collective rejuvenation.
Vaginal rejuvenation for the ANC.
It's much easier to start a cult.
Hey, some good news. China has reopened its borders after 3 years of COVID lockdown. They finally, and you know that they're worse, their COVID numbers are worse than ever right now.
They cannot
contain this anymore. So again, proof that all the lockdown people were wrong is that even China, the authoritarian utopian dream of people who love government control, they couldn't even keep a lid on this thing. Mm. And now at the moment where there are the most cases they've ever had, they have to open up because it's just going to kill their country if they don't. So let's never
unlock the barricades they put up on people's front doors.
Those people, they sold it and welded into their apartments. Do you remember? Well, they're going to find a lot of bodies because what did those people eat?
Each other.
Wow.
Exactly. Going to be desiccated corpses.
Which part would you eat first if you were stuck with the room? The lips. I think I would just chow someone's lips and then I could just.
Everybody says that's very disturbing. Jeffrey Dahmer. If you had to eat someone, you've got to start with the biggest muscle, the butt muscle.
No way, rump.
Yeah. Rump steak.
Gareth, no.
I would have such a problem eating the human meat.
The lips, the lips and the eyelids would make for nice nibbles. Like,
no.
If we are going down on a plane together, I'm going to make sure I die like this.
It's going to be a Rick and Morty episode.
Oh my God. Vaginal, Sanella says, vaginal rejuvenation of the ANC, nothing can clean that hole. Jesus. Carl says, vaginal rejuvenation of the ANC makes sense because they're a bunch of cunts.
People
are hitting hard for the first week of the year.
Man, I don't. Yeah. You know,
that needs more than a vaginal thingy. It needs a hysterectomy and a start over.
Well, this is assuming the ANC is female. I think it's actually quite male. Okay, so listen, there are a lot of comments here about kind of people's resolutions for the new year. I'm not going to get into too much of that because unless Leanne and Eugene, do you have any resolutions? I told you about my lists, which are still flexible because I often, if I can't do all three things, it'll just move on to the next year. There's no pressure. And I'm not going to suddenly give up this or start this or that kind of shit doesn't impress me. And people always, by the end of January, they've forgotten their resolutions. Do you have any?
I do. My first one is, it came true very quickly, was to see Thabo Mbeki stop talking. And he did that. It was my New Year's resolution. I couldn't stand that single thing that Thabo Mbeki wanted to say to me.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I'm fine with you.
What happened? When did he stop?
I thought
he was still going.
Just after the conference, he stopped because clearly he was not as wise as he thought he was.
Someone interviewed him when the top six were elected.
Oh, God.
And he was like... We don't really have. I have nothing to say.
See, that's the guy we're talking about.
Right.
Carl Niehaus is busy starting his own cult, fighting for black people. And I'm like,
no black people are interested. Like, none. Not one. Ever. Not even one. Jesus.
I'm like, Carl, you look wrong to fight for black people. That's not there. So.
What's your resolution?
But my resolution is to do things with my friends. I love doing stuff with people I like being around.
You know, it's so joyful. That is so right. I had some good experiences this holiday with a couple of my friends.
There
and
we go.
I never need to be around people for too long because I get irritating, I think. I'm going to blame me because I don't want to blame them.
Yes.
But good memories that you... Because I still remember that lunch that you and Rabin and I went on.
Yes.
I want to do stuff like that more, where I actually have quality time with people, real conversations, laugh, joke, have the best, and then like I don't have to see you for another
week. You know what's fun about being with people that you enjoy is hearing what they have to say. Because oftentimes we want to tell them what we want them to know.
Mm.
But sometimes when you hear someone, you're like, oh my goodness, I would have never heard this if I was just me by myself. So I want that. I want more and more and more of that.
Lovely.
Yeah. So
you, Leanne?
I'm actually a very inconsistent person. I'm either giving things my all or not at all.
That's very consistent.
So... Yeah, that is true. So I don't want to, you know, set myself up for failure by saying this is what I want to do because I know I'm not going to be consistent. So for me, it's just to try and bring in more balance, really, and be more consistent, to not be overdoing things in one week and then doing nothing the next. I just want to kind of
balance.
More reliable, like you know?
Balance. Balance.
Balance. That was the woman I worked with when I had a school job at Stutterford's.
Was she Zimbabwe?
Every night that... Why?
No, we thought her actual name was Balance and we thought the only person...
Oh, no.
No, she could only be Zimbabwe if her name was Balance.
No, I used to work with her. I don't actually remember her name.
Oh.
But every night we used to have to balance the tolls before we went home.
You worked at Stutterford's?
Like Yeah, it was a miracle, man, when they did balance, and she'd go, "Oh, we balance!" Celebrate and go home.
Okay, so Kampamba says the cult slogan has to be "Stop Nonsense," and that is exactly it. Don't forget, we are declaring this the year of Stop Nonsense, and we are actually going to make some T-shirts. We're talking to Sanele, among others, about Stop Nonsense, because this is what we need to do. Society needs us to stop this nonsense, and we need to stop all the people who are creating the nonsense. So this is where it's going to happen. Great office. Stop Nonsense. That's going to be our sign outside the Cliff Central office.
Get your car washed.
Yeah, I love it. All right. That is all we got time for, people. Thank you for an awesome morning. This is a great way to start the year. I hope you're feeling all energized and ready to do all the cool things. And if you've already been at work for a week, sorry. If you are feeling sorry for yourself at the start of this year and you're worried about stuff, just remember what Eugene said earlier on. All the things that you think are the biggest issues that you're never going to be able to overcome and blah, 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 like in 2 months' time, it's probably not going to matter to you. Right? Stop nonsense.
And just balance.
Balance. There we go. Just find some balance. All right, lovely. Thanks, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Cliffcentral.com.